I'm really, really, really someone I just really have always admired in terms of the work that we've done. And I hope I don't kill your name, but it's Shaitanya.
Shaitanya
Brown. And tell us what your position is. I know you're in a different iteration in your life, but what are you doing now?
I'm still in the line of workforce development, but I actually work for the Department of Workforce Development. I'm the administrator for our Employment and Training Division.
And what is that? What does that Employment and Training Division look like?
So when you think about all things employment, for the most part in Wisconsin, I have our Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards under my division. The Wisconsin Fast Forward Program is under my division. A number of the federal programs from the Department of Labor is under my division. I would say that I have all things except for Department of Voc Rehab. So okay. For the state, anything employment and training related typically is under my division.
So just let's get a sense of the resources that's devoted to that. Is that a pretty significant amount of money, resources that's devoted to that? Because, you know, that just in the name Department of Workforce Development, that development piece.
Yes, we have a number of the bulk of our funding is federal. So a lot of the resources received come from the Department of Labor. We have a large sum of resources that comes from the state of Wisconsin. But the bulk, like I stated, is federal resources.
And that is, and I don't think a lot of times the frustration I hear sometimes from people is that people are not really taking full advantage of a lot of the offerings of the Department of Workforce Development.
And I would say I would concur with that. When you look at Wisconsin having one of the lowest unemployment rates in history for the state, there's so much opportunity for individuals who've been out of the workforce. And we're really, part of me coming on air today is to really talk about opportunities that's available in a number of the programs that we have at Department of Workforce Development and the partnerships that we have with the Department of Workforce Development, because we really want to get the word out to individuals to take advantage of these resources. Now is the opportunity.
And I think that sometimes a lot of people don't even realize that that what you do in terms of the support that you provide, not only for the individuals looking for work, but the support that you provide for those entities that hire those individuals.
Absolutely.
Right?
Employers are our primary customers. We want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the employers in the state of Wisconsin. We want to make sure that Wisconsin continues to thrive and that we continue to support the employers. And in supporting the employers, we want to make sure that we're getting the information from the employer as to their needs so that we can carry that forward to train individuals to make sure the community knows what those needs are. If training is necessary, we want to make sure that we get you connected to the proper stakeholders and opportunities, whether they be financial, to get you connected so that you are part of that talent pipeline.
So, you know, the $4 billion gorilla in the room is Foxconn. And
yes.
You all are doing something in support of the, I wouldn't say supporter, that you're doing something in relations to Foxconn. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So Foxconn will be launching a series of hiring fairs. And so the first one will be held this Saturday, October 13th, at the company's Opus facility in Mount Pleasant. So it will begin at 7 a.m. But one of the things we want to make sure people understand is not one of our typical ways of how we view hiring fairs where people just show up and they have the opportunity to meet with employers. Foxconn has required that those individuals who are interested, they must pre-register. So again, this is not a walk-in event. You just can't show up and be interviewed. You must pre-register. And you could do that by logging on to our Job Center of Wisconsin website and clicking on the Foxconn Hiring Fair banner. And that's, again, that's jobcenterofwisconsin.com. And when you go to that website, clicking on the Foxconn Hiring Fair banner. So that will take you to a registration site where there's a very simple form to fill out. And it's important that you upload your resume because part of that process is they will be scheduling interviews by October 12th for those individuals who have got in. So it's first come, first serve because there's a capacity limit as far as the number of individuals that can be in the facility at one time, and being that they will be doing interviews on the spot, you want to be prepared to be there for 2 hours. Because the process will be doing a first round of interviews, and if they like you, you will be held over for a second round. So it's important that you register. You cannot just show up and look for an interview. You must go on and pre-register and upload your resume.
And what I really appreciate about what you're doing here is that one of the changes in the job market is that most people now are online applications.
Yes.
That showing up, give me an application to fill out, and I'll fill out this paper application. So one, it's kind of preparing you for the new real world of work. And it also shows. So what happens, I pre-register and I don't hear back from Foxconn even though I've registered.
So don't give up, because like I stated, space, there's capacity limitation to that particular space. Foxconn has set up other dates for other events. So in the next 3 weeks, they'll have an event October 21st in Racine. There'll be an event October 24th in Green Bay. There's an event scheduled for October 27th in Eau Claire. And then November 2nd, the event will be here in Milwaukee.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by the fact that this is statewide. You know, a lot of times is the Foxconn development has always been kind of like a southeastern Wisconsin. But you're recruiting from all over the state.
Absolutely. Foxconn has a number of what they're calling innovation centers throughout Wisconsin. So they're popping up. So that's why it's important that people go on early and do the registration and make sure you're uploading your resume. If you need assistance with getting your resume done, you can visit any one of our job centers, especially throughout the state, to get assistance with making sure your resume is up to par. Because you want to make sure you put all of those experience and things that you have that will make you be a candidate that they will want to invite for an interview.
So one of the issues that people have been talking about is this whole issue of transportation. How does DWD see its role in terms of transportation as it relates to getting to Foxconn?
Well, this is one of the exciting programs or projects that we've embarked upon. The governor announced earlier this year his Commute to Careers program, and we did the announcement at Quad Graphics. I was actually sitting in the audience, and because I'm really, really excited about this partnership between the Department of Workforce Development and Department of Transportation. So we put out not too long ago an RFP for $8 million to look at $5 million of the $8 million will go to businesses and nonprofit organizations. And it was our hope that they develop transportation solutions for people who need to get to work. And we included training in that, because part of it, we know that sometimes for some of these jobs, people need to upskill. So if they're taking a course at Gateway Tech College or Waukesha Tech College, any of the places that will provide training, we wanted to make sure not just employment but also training. And so we earmarked $2 million of the $8 million to go toward low-income workers, and $1 million was earmarked for persons with disabilities. So we are excited that in the next couple of weeks, we will be making an announcement as to who our first round of applicants are who will be providing transportation options for individuals needing to get to work and training. And it's our hope that we put a request in that this $8 million will be available the next go-round in the biennial to keep the program going.
As always, we talk a lot about those, and you deal with this, obviously, this population, those folks who have had some form of a criminal record, and now they're out. What are we doing in terms of dealing with that population?
Again, DWD is doing some magnificent things. We are partnering with our other state agencies, just as we did with Department of Transportation. For transportation, we are working very closely with Department of Corrections and our tech colleges. So I just want to go over some of the programs and the things that we have either done or in process of doing. So last month, we had 11 inmates at the Sturtevant Transitional Facility receive their certificates in the computer numerical control, that also is known as CNC machining. So Gateway was our partner on the tech college side, and the training has been so successful that we're adding two additional mobile labs to Department of Corrections to have at other facilities to continue to do, whether it be welding training, CNC training. We have actually purchased equipment for Red Granite Correctional Facility. So equipment will be inside the facility to do industrial maintenance certification training for individuals in partnership.
Now, what is the industrial maintenance? What is?
It's in the manufacturing realm. Okay. It's kind of entry level into manufacturing. And okay. It's our hope that we will take the certification and turn it into a registered apprenticeship program.
Okay.
So the first steps is bringing the equipment into the institution and making that happen. We are really excited about our first job center that we will be bringing to Oak Hill Correctional Facility. We hope to launch that sometime in November. But once again, going into the institution, Secretary Allen for Department of Workforce Development, his thing is that we really want to go in and provide pre-release services to connect those individuals to the workforce system prior to release, because we all know rapid attachment is key as far as making sure individuals stay there. Our Department of Veterans Employment Services. We have staff who regularly go inside of the institutions and work with individuals who are within 60 to 90 days of release, and we deliver those case management, job search, connect them to local resources. And it's so important that we train this pool of talent that's ready to enter the workforce, because we need to make sure that we're setting up people for success, making sure that they're getting attached to family-supporting jobs and meaningful careers.
And that's that's something that and I don't know if you would know this. What is the I'm trying to figure out what the minimum hourly wage is going to be at Foxconn when their operation is.
I don't know what the minimum hourly wage is going to be, but I know some of the stats that have been out there is that a minimum annual of, you know, at least over $50,000 is what's projected for us, a number of the entry-level positions at Foxconn. And, of course, if you're an engineer and things of that nature, you can see where the salaries would be higher, significantly higher. So.
You know, and when we look at like an environment like Milwaukee in our economy, and where we once was, where we were considered a smokestack economy, and we saw that transitioning, and so when we saw the major smokestacks coming down, when you're talking about A.L. Smith or Alice Chalmers, that type of manufacturing. But manufacturing is still an important part of Milwaukee and really the state of Wisconsin's economy, right?
Absolutely. Manufacturing continues to be an extremely important part of Wisconsin's economy. Wisconsin is a top 10 state for manufacturing. We're in the top 10 for that. It accounts for 18.2% of the state's gross domestic product. Wow. We've added over 53,000 manufacturing jobs since Governor Walker took office in 2011, as well as over 22,000 of those jobs were created in the past year alone, with the second highest total of any state in the country. Now we have more than 480,000 people employed at over 9,400 manufacturing businesses in the state. And when you think about Foxconn and other manufacturers ramping up to their operations, it's a critical need for even more highly skilled workers to fill these family-supporting jobs.
And I think that, again, it gets back to something we had said earlier, where people really should take advantage of the program offerings at DWD. That training that you can get or access to developing of skills becomes really important, because, you know, you hear the mayor here always complaining, but the mayor would say that what he's getting in terms of complaints is that he wants people hired, and then the company say, well, there's a skills gap here. Mm-hmm. So we really need to fill that skills gap. I mean, one thing to sit up and kind of lament about what the unemployment rate might look like in 53206, but if part of that is there's a lack of skills to be able to assume the new jobs, then we need to get people to those venues where they can get that skill development.
Absolutely. That is very critical. And oftentimes with a number of the jobs, if individuals get through training and get some certifications, they can get started on their pathway to continue to skill up and take on more high skill, high level jobs. But you got to get in the door and you got to start somewhere.
And I think it's interesting, because when you begin to look at the population trend, right, millennials, mm-hmm. I said it right, millennials, is the biggest population we have right now. And as the boomers and the Gen Xers now are beginning to transition out of the workforce, there's a demand for labor. I guess that's why one of the reasons why our unemployment rate is so low here in the state.
Absolutely. When we look at when we're talking about young people and getting them into, you know, our labor participation rate, it continues to be one of the highest in the nation. This summer, we had more people working in Wisconsin than ever in state history. And on any given day, there's over 95,000 to 100,000 jobs posted on our Job Center of Wisconsin website. So it's imperative that we get people trained into the workforce quickly. Governor Walker is supportive of a number of initiatives that are addressing that need. For example, in the current biennial budget, Governor Walker invested a historic amount into K-12 education. This historic investment resulted in an extra $200 per student to every school last year, an additional $204 per student in this upcoming school year. Our youth apprenticeship programs, we're really, really excited about. The youth apprenticeship is in my division, and Governor Walker has doubled more Wisconsin youth apprentices since taking office, from 1.6 million in 2010 to 3.2 in 2016. And the program continues to grow. This summer, we launched our pilot for middle school, looking at getting middle school students in the pipeline for pre-apprenticeship programming so that we can pathway them into youth apprenticeship, and if they so desire, pathway into registered apprenticeship.
Well, sit right there, that the apprenticeship piece. One of the things that we cannot outsource is when it comes to things like carpenters, plumbers, electricians. Those are where you actually have to have that person here. And I think that sometimes we don't take advantage of that in terms of there are kids who are very good mechanically and working with their hands. And really, they probably don't realize it, even have the mathematical skills, mm-hmm. even though not formalized, but still in terms of how they're thinking, they could do it. And what people don't realize, we just had some electricians and plumbers at the house. They make some very good money. I mean, this, and you sit up here thinking, like, you need to hurry up, man, because this hourly rate is killing us. You know, they're taking their time and making sure. But, I mean, it's something that we kind of got away from for a lot of different reasons. You know, back in the day, you know, they felt like there was this whole steering and tracking. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that that's something that we really, really need to promote more of, I just think.
Absolutely. Our registered apprenticeship program is going through right now a marketing campaign. And it's to, again, promote to people you can really make a lot of money with no college debt or limited college debt by going into the registered apprenticeship programs. These are not watered-down opportunities in addition to folks who are going to college. These are largely family-sustaining wage jobs for students who are really good at their hands, you know, didn't want to spend a lot of time, you know, don't see themselves. Why go to school for 4 years and it's a wasted diploma when you're really a craftsman and you really want to work with your hands and you want to do something and you can really be skilled at that? That's why we're taking the pipeline down to middle school age students, because we want to make sure that young people understand there is a career pathway to the apprenticeship program.
And I see the advantage of having that available and that exposure is, unfortunately for some folks, then it's almost like the prison. Where all of a sudden now you learn it, you're getting some of these skills where if we can catch people before prison.
Absolutely.
And avoid that, obviously, you know, just our outlay and what we. But I just think it's we always have the argument, you know, on a community level. We need jobs. You know, what are you doing about jobs in the inner city? And I tell people one of the realities, and this got back to that transportation piece, is that many of the jobs, many of us travel. You really travel in terms of your work. But many of us, we're not walking out the door, walking up the street to work.
No.
You know, we're driving. We're getting to work. And so, and then this is, again, me and my social commentaries relates to a City of Milwaukee residence. I think sometimes this emphasis on, we need to get the people to where the jobs are and certainly have the skills to go where jobs. I was thinking about a friend of mine, her dad, I can remember this. He worked in Libertyville, Illinois. Really good job. That man got up every day and drove to Libertyville. So I'm just saying that maybe that reality, and then we deal with some other issues, but certainly getting to where they are and then having the skills. And I think, again, take advantage of, let me do this, take advantage of the government programs, right, that's out there. You see it with veterans.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you were talking about the piece that I thought was a little interesting in terms of people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. We don't talk a lot about that. But there is support and training for those individuals, too.
Absolutely. Just because a person has a disability doesn't mean that that person is not capable of working. And through our Division of Voc Rehab, we have a number of opportunities for young people as well as older adults who may have a disability but want to actually get to work. And that was why it was important to include a segment for persons with disabilities in our transportation because, again, everyone wants to work regardless of the fact you might have a disability that precludes you. And people oftentimes think of disabilities as things that we can physically see, and that's not always the case of a person with a disability. And that's why it's so important that parents, part of our registered apprenticeship program's marketing campaign includes educating parents. Because oftentimes parents think that if my child is not going to college and they take on an apprenticeship, that they're taking a secondary pathway to success, and that's not true. Mm. It's just as important as whether a student goes to college. You got to know where the niche is for your child.
And I'll go out there, go on the line and say, I think plumbers and carpenters and electricians have made more of a contribution to society than probably I have, and I have a college degree, right? So, I mean, that when you look at what they're doing and that need, and it's one of those things that's really been constant. And I want to go back to something else when you talked about now really reaching into middle school and high school, because I think I know you saw this with your work when you were with Employ Milwaukee, that a lot of times it's not that the people don't have the innate talent. A lot of times it is things we call soft skills, mm-hmm. like getting up, mm-hmm. going to work, you know, all these things that you can have an enormous amount of talent, but if you're not there, the company doesn't benefit, you know, from your talent. And so I think getting down and getting people with the idea, seeing this every day has a whole lot to do in things and things preparing them for success as they become adults.
Oh, absolutely. I have even, in the department, I tell my team, you know, I know people know it's by soft skills, but it's essential skills. Those are the things when we talk to employers, their biggest complaint is I can train folks, but I need them to know how to get up and come to work. And I need them to know how to work as a team player. And I need them to know these are essential. They're no longer soft, that you know. So they are essential things. And if we can make sure our young people are getting it at an early age, so when they are of work age, they understand the essential requirements outside of the skills that you need and the academics that you need, but the essential things that you need to in order to be successful at employment.
Right, they're going to teach you what you need to run the machine, but they're not going to teach you how to act.
Right, right.
Right. You got to, and people don't realize that we're talking about, I know what your experience was. It becomes so frustrating because you let's say we do all this training in terms of, for lack of a term, hard skills or the technical skills, but then there's a behavior issue or people making the adjustment to being told that you have to do. Because for some people, the pushback is just being this, you're not who you telling me what to do. Well, he's called a supervisor. He's called a boss. So I appreciate that. So let's circle all the way back to where we started. Talk again about the first Foxconn hiring fair.
Yes, I just want to remind job seekers that Foxconn is hiring, and the first in a series of hiring fairs will be held this Saturday, October 13th in Mount Pleasant. You must, and I cannot stress enough, you must pre-register for this event. Details can be found on JobCenter Wisconsin website. Just click on the Foxconn hiring banner, and that's jobcenterwisconsin.com. And click on the Foxconn Hiring Fair banner. Thank you for the opportunity to connect with your listeners, and I hope that you all will take advantage of the opportunities.
And thank you for coming in. Ms. Chaitanya Brown, she's with the Department of Workforce Development. Again, we're talking about the Foxconn Hiring Fair. Again, that website for people who want to participate in that.
Go to our jobcenterwisconsin.com and click on the Foxconn Hiring Fair banner.
Good seeing you.
Good Good seeing you too.
I was very excited when I heard that you had that new opportunity.
And I'm glad I'm being interviewed by a friendly face.
Oh, yeah. You know, you thought I was going to be coming hard with, and another thing. Now I got you here. No, but I really appreciate that. So, man, I had another job I thought you'd be perfect for, too. But you already got this one. So it's all good. You've been listening to Community Voice. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.